Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
The county just requested more electric charging stations.
Orders have really amped up at Able Electric.
We need 3 more at First in Maine, and we just got another hotel chain.
It's no shock. Able Electric needs Able Electricians.
Grocery store wants charging stations, too.
And fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Put our matching platform to work so you can spend less time searching and more time connecting with talented candidates. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Doug. Quickly move. We don't have much time. This Liberty ad is already almost over. We only have a few precious seconds to remind people to customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual.
Okay.
Well, I guess we had more time than I thought.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The first flight carrying migrants to Guantanamo Bay has taken off from El Paso, Texas. It will bring slightly less than a dozen migrants to a max security lockup used to hold Al-Qaeda detainees. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has said previously that those facilities would be used to house, quote, the worst of the worst. Secretary of State Marco Rubio says El Salvador's president has offered to house American deportees and even incarcerated American citizens in his country's prisons.
Obviously, we'll have to study it on our end. There are obviously legalities involved. We have a constitution. We have all sorts of things, but it's a very generous offer.
Both Tulsi Gabbard's nomination for Director of National Intelligence and Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s nomination for Secretary of Health and Human Services have been moved forward by Senate committees for a floor vote. President Trump's additional 10% tariff on products from China took effect overnight, and China fired back, slapping tariffs on U.S. imports, including coal and crude oil. This is ABC News. A new lawsuit following the death of a young Wisconsin man who died from an asthma attack after the price of his inhaler skyrocketed.
22-year-old Cole Schmitnick treated his asthma with an Advair inhaler, costing $66 a month. But last year, his family says Walgreens told him the inhaler was no longer covered by his insurance and would cost $539. Unable to afford it, Cole left the store without it.
He made $19 an hour. He worked full-time. He had his own insurance. However, he couldn't afford $539.19.
5 days later, Cole's family says he suffered a severe asthma attack, later dying at the hospital.
ABC's Andrea Fujii. Teenagers are spending an average of 1.5 hours on their phones in school on a daily basis. And according to a new study published in JAMA Pediatrics, 25% of students logging on for more than 2 hours. The study says those students are mostly social media and messaging apps. Dave Packer.
My son loves to fly kites, but my active psoriatic arthritis can sometimes hold me back. Now with Skyrizi to treat my skin and joints, I'm ready to go. Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults, helps with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. For those who also have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible with just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi today and visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ehlen. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin was in Madison Monday to discuss funding she secured for the Wisconsin Opioid Overdose Response Center. The Wisconsin Democrat says that could now be in jeopardy because of a federal funding freeze issued by the Trump administration.
This is unconstitutional and an illegal grab of power. The Constitution is
crystal clear that Congress makes laws, Congress passes budgets, and the administration implements them, whether Trump likes them or not.
Baldwin has secured $2 million in funding for the center. Absentee ballot deadlines are approaching for Wisconsin's February 18th spring primary.
Starting today, 2 weeks before Election Day, clerks can begin issuing in-person absentee ballots at the clerk's office or another designated location. The in-person absentee voting process, sometimes called early voting, involves a voter both requesting a ballot and completing that ballot on the same trip. Voters will need to show an acceptable photo ID when voting by in-person absentee ballot. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A conservative legal group is suing the WIAA over transfer rules.
The Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty accuses the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association of illegally interfering in the business of publicly funded and administered sports groups. This is after a student who was forced to go from private to public schools due to an illness in her family was blocked from joining the Baraboo softball team. The girl's family requested a waiver and was denied. A Will spokesperson says the girl's family pays school taxes and lives in the district, and the WIAA has overstepped its bounds as a private organization. The WIAA is declining to comment due to the lawsuit. Raymond Newpert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Start your new and exciting career at Martin Transport Mondovi. Martin Transport's one of Western Wisconsin's largest employers and is a leader in the industry, transporting temperature-sensitive freight to 48 states, Canada, and Mexico. Martin Transport now has openings for dedicated, local, regional, and over-the-road drivers, logistics, operations, maintenance, accounting, and information technology. Visit martin.com for more information and to apply. It's better in blue when you work for an industry leader. Martin Transport Mondovi.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Mostly cloudy and quite chilly today. High temperatures will only reach the mid-teens with feisty winds, which is knocking us back to feeling 10 to 15 degrees cooler. They ease overnight tonight, we slide to the single digits, and with temperatures a little warmer tomorrow, we are looking at light snow moving in by night. Get the bathroom you've always wanted from BCI Bath and Shower, 1-800-329-4115. Right now, it's 6 degrees.
Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Great to have you with us here today for the program as we are continuing coverage from the agmarket.net Farming for Profit, Not Price Conference in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up here on the show today, we're going to have a lot of conversations here from the conference. I know we're going to talk cattle markets with Ross Baldwin from Ag Market. We're going to hear from Dan Bossy with Ag Resource Company as well. And we're also going to take a dive into the grains and tariff talk and much more coming up here with the folks at agmarket.net after the bottom of the hour. So a lot to get to on today's show, but we want to kick things off and talk biofuels and more. Joining us for our monthly conversation with Clean Fuels Alliance America, pleased to have Vice President of Federal Affairs Kurt Kovarik join us here on the show. Kurt, good to have you with us again on AOA. Hope all is well.
Everything's great. Glad to be, Jesse.
Well, let's start and let's catch up on the 45Z guidance. And that was a big thing that we saw with the outgoing Biden administration. We got the guidance from Treasury, then USDA rolled out their climate smart practices. But now it's all kind of on the Trump administration to essentially figure this out, put this all together. And I think some folks are maybe a little concerned what this could all look like moving forward. So what is your perspective? What is Clean Fuels' perspective on where we stand with 45Z?
Sure. Well, what we're trying to do right now is help inform and educate our members as to what they can reasonably expect with respect to the 45Z guidance that came out from Treasury back on January 10th. And Clean Fuels as an organization and our members had been working for many months to get IRS and Treasury to issue this guidance. We needed it last September, to be perfectly honest. We don't produce our fuel with feedstock that we buy this day. We buy feedstock months in advance and contract and then use the fuel and have contracts in place many months for that fuel. So what what's occurred because the guidance didn't come out until January 10th, we quite frankly have a lot of members who are not producing any fuel right now. And that's a result of the fact that heading into January 1 of 25, they did not know the rules of the road and therefore didn't know what to pay for feedstock and couldn't contract fuel. So what we have now is some degree of guidance from IRS and Treasury that we believe our members can rely on today to calculate the value of the credit. And remember, 45Z, the new clean fuel production credit, is credit based on the carbon intensity of fuel. So in some cases, that's a pretty simple calculation. For our members in our industry, it's not, because we produce three different fuels, these five different feedstocks, all that have a different carbon intensity. So this is extraordinarily complex to understand. We're working through it right now. But the fact of the matter is, it's not as beneficial as the tax credit that we currently had until the end of 2024. And that was the $1 per gallon blender's tax credit. In all cases, this is going to be worth less than a dollar. In some cases, it's worth 30 cents. In some cases, it might be as much as 70 cents. So the industry is currently right now trying to work through that, understand the impacts, and see if there's the ability to continue to grow and flourish under this tax framework.
Is there concern here, Kurt, that with the Trump administration and EPA head Lee Zeldin now and more, I mean, is there any concern that this whole sustainable aviation fuel 45Z conversation could get turned on its head potentially? Is there anything to that effect you are hearing in D.C. right now, Kurt?
Not specifically to 45Z, but I think the concern is obviously real. If you look at some other activities that they focus on, the Trump administration already, with respect to provisions that come out of the Inflation Reduction Act, provisions aimed at addressing climate specifically. With this one, I would say this to anybody who has concern. One, it's in the tax code, so that already says so long as you meet the criteria, you're eligible for the tax credit. Two, it's one area where we have strong bipartisan, bicameral support in Congress to defend. We successfully did that with a handful of members 2 years ago when some of these provisions for fuels were considered on the chopping block in a debt deal. And then last summer, we had a letter that I had about 30 or 40 members from the House of Representatives basically saying, as we head into tax reconciliation, please don't assume that we're going to dump everything from the Inflation Reduction Act. So what I think we have going for, you know, for what it's worth, with this administration, a little unpredictable, and even in areas where you have strong support, we've got a lot of folks on the Hill who are willing to defend these provisions. And the question is why? Well, obviously, contribution that we add to the agriculture industry, more than 10% of the value of a soybean can be fully attributed to the value that the biomass-based diesel adds to soybean oil. We're almost 10% of the fuel supply in the diesel pool is a biomass-based molecule. So if the administration is thinking about domestic energy resilience or dominance or unleashing American energy on the backs of farmers, that's what our fuel is doing. So we would hope that as they become more educated, and we're not saying they're not, we're just doing our due diligence to make sure that they understand what it is that we're contributing, both in terms of energy security, rural economic development, to add to American farmers, etc.
How about the RFS? Let's close out there. Anything? I know we got a few different things that we have to levels we have to get set and more here moving forward. What are your thoughts when it comes to the RFS with the Trump administration, Kurt?
We need the administration to quickly realize that they inherited an overdue project from the Biden administration, and that is volumes for 2026 under the renewable fuel standard. They should have been set by November 1st of 2024. The outgoing Biden administration decided it wasn't in their interest to do the work. You know, it's not the fault of the EPA administrator Zeldin or the Trump administration, but the fact of the matter is this industry relies upon the signals, market signals that are sent, those RVO volumes. And so we're going to be impressing upon them early and often the desire to get this done and to do it in a manner that sends the appropriate signals. What we had with the previous administration and the near set rule was wholly inadequate to drive additional growth in the market. In fact, the volumes that they set fell below what the market actually is for our fuels. So we're hoping the Trump administration is true to their word, puts the down on the accelerator in terms of domestic energy production, recognizes what the biomass-based diesel industry is doing to contribute to that, and the RFS as a tool to enact it.
Folks can learn more, cleanfuels.org. With that, we're up against the clock. Vice President of Federal Affairs, Kurt Kovarik, with the Clean Fuels Alliance America. Kurt, always appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
You got it. Glad to be with you.
All right, once again, Kurt Kovarik with Clean Fuels Alliance America joining us here on AOA. Coming up next, we are going to hear from Dan Bossy with Ag Resource Company. He spoke here at the AgMarket.net Farming for Profit, Not Price Conference. We'll get his thoughts on tariffs, South American weather, and more up next on AOA. Are you heading to National Farm Machinery Show? This is Jesse Allen. I'll be broadcasting AOA Live on Thursday, February 13th from 10 to 11 a.m. from AGI Booth 7423. In advance of 2025 planting, now is the time to adopt a review, repair, replace strategy. Stop by AGI's booth to get tips and learn what's new in grain storage, conditioning, and material handling. That's Thursday, February 13th from AGI Booth 7423 from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern at National Farm Machinery Show. Are you heading to NCBA in San Antonio? On Wednesday, February 5th, stop by Novo Nessus Booth 2251 for some exciting live radio. AOA will be broadcasting live from 9 to 10 a.m. We will be highlighting how research-proven probiotics support the normal development and productivity of cattle, as well as more about world-leading biosolutions from Novo Nessus, formerly Christian Hansen. Also on Thursday at 11:30 in the Learning Lounge, I will be hosting a Novo Nessus panel. We'll see you in San Antonio.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
NTEC is constantly evolving to bring you the very best communication services. Our high-speed, high-quality internet, voice, and video services help you make the connections that matter. We may have a new look, but we're still the same local provider you know and love right here in Durand. NTEC grows and changes as you do, so we can always meet your needs. Visit ntec.net to learn more. That's ntec.net.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA as we continue our coverage from the AgMarket.net Farming for Profit, Not Price Conference in Nashville. I was able to catch up with Dan Bossy, the president of Ag Resource Company, on Sunday evening at the conference. Get his thoughts and perspective on tariffs, South American weather updates, and more. Let's listen to that conversation right now on AOA. And joining us now here at the agmarket.net Farming for Profit, Not Price Conference in Nashville, Tennessee. Pleased to catch up with Dan Bossi, president of Ag Resource Company. Dan, it's good to see you again. How are you?
It's really good to be back with you, Jesse. Lots to talk about, but, you know, it's been a good winter so far. A little too cold for me in January, but we'll warm up here and down in Nashville. It reached 70 degrees today.
I know. Beautiful weather down here in the Mid-South for sure. And I even saw someone make a post. Somewhere in Illinois, they were putting some soybeans in the ground to test out 3 acres.
I saw the same thing, yeah.
I mean, you know, the way this weather has been, who knows,
you know,
what we could see for sure. Well, there's a lot to talk about weather in South America. We'll get to that in a minute. I better start with tariffs, though. That's kind of the talk of the convention here so far. And really, we've long seen the rumors. We expected these to happen. Saturday, they came to fruition on Canada, Mexico, and China. And I know you just talked with folks here at the conference about this. So just 1,000-foot view this for us. What are we looking at with these tariffs and market concerns here?
Well, first of all, trade wars are never bullish for commodities. I think that's the first thing we need to say, is that as we get into trade wars, they never help the demand, particularly the export demand of the country that's putting on the tariffs. That being said, the other thing I would tell everyone is once you put on tariffs, they're very difficult to remove. Historically, I can look all the way back to the 1820s. Once a country puts on a tariff, they like the income coming in, people adjust to it, politicians get used to it. It takes a calamity, Jesse, to get tariffs to come off. So, again, not bullish, hard to come off. The third problem I have, though, is the timing of this. Why would they want to put tariffs on right as we farmers get into revenue insurance? February starts the revenue insurance countdown for all of us deciding what our policies will be. So the timing of this couldn't be worse. I wish they would have done revenue insurance calculations in January, not February, but we'll probably see the markets down tonight in Chicago, would be my guess. And then we'll kind of see what the retaliation is from Mexico and China in particular to see where we go.
That's a great point you made about the crop insurance side of this. And one I did not think about. There's so many layers to all of this, Dan. When you really peel it back and you look at, I know there's concerns on fertilizer from Canada, a lot of different products, corn to Mexico, for instance. Then there's the China component, which we can get into more in a minute. But I just have to think that, to your point, no one wins in a trade war here. And the recent rally we've seen in grains, I have to think that it's going to be impacted in many ways.
Well, we've got a market that's relatively long. 365,000 is our calculation as of Friday. Open interest is at a record at corn, over 2 million. So there's going to be a lot of volatility. That I can guarantee you. There are some winners, if I could, which not everything is a loser. But, you know, the U.S. is the world's largest oat importer. So there's a winner for American oat farmers. And there's another winner, which is called soybean oil. As we don't bring in 2.4 million tons of Canadian canola oil in this country, we will need more soybean oil, and the Chinese tariffs also prevent or somewhat cause a lower economic value for UCO coming in from China. So maybe the oil market helps out because of renewable diesel or biodiesel, but those are small winners in a landscape or a sea of rather big losers, unfortunately.
I got to ask you about China. You made some interesting points to the audience here at the conference about the impacts on China here, 10% tariff. But another point you made as well is this talk about their preferred trade status here. So, I mean, when you look at this from a U.S.-China standpoint, where are we at and how can this unfold moving forward?
So we talked a lot about the conference about a duopoly, which means that for many, many years, the United States was at the center of capitalism. That's now changing, where BRIC nations have a GDP combined rate bigger than we at G7. With that in mind, the Chinese and the United States politically and economically are moving apart. Competition is a term that comes to my mind between the two countries. And we see that very evident in terms of high-end chips. Last week, we had the AI system. coming out of China, deep seek, if you will, trying to understand what was going to happen there, and that the Chinese are showing us, hey, we can do this AI thing without the chips going forward. So competition is there. And with that in mind, the Chinese are going to be increasingly looking at securing their key commodities, particularly on food, from others outside the United States. Look for Brazil to do relatively well with China going forward, especially after these tariffs. And China has most favored trading nation from the United States for decades. We go all the way back to 1995, 96 when they were granted it. If we remove that, and that is the plan of both the House and the Senate, that will take Chinese tariffs up to 35%. And I believe the U.S. tariff that Trump just put on would be on top of that, putting Chinese goods at 45% tariffs, which is going to hurt whether you're looking at some of the products we import from the United States. But from China's perspective, they will push goods and commodity demand elsewhere.
I was just going to say, I mean, you think of the potential of an almost 50% tariff. I can't imagine that even if the Chinese like the quality of our soybeans, for instance, can't imagine they're going to be coming to the U.S. for soybeans.
No, they did like the quality of our soybeans recently, of course, very dry. The Chinese know that these beans can stay in their reserve for probably 5 years without a problem, storage problem. So that's why they were buying our soybeans up until this point. But after the news on the weekend, there's still 3 to 3.5 million tons of U.S. soybeans that could get canceled, that are on the books, not shipped. So we'll watch this very carefully. But, you know, I just believe the Chinese will be taking cheaper Brazilian beans for the foreseeable future.
Dan Bossi with Ag Resource Company joining us here today. Let's shift to South America, get an update what you're hearing from Brazil, Argentina. A couple different weather stories in the two countries with the dryness in Argentina into southern Brazil and then really wet in central to northern Brazil. So what's the latest you're gathering from South America?
So I have a team on the ground, most of my staff for that matter, along with Bank of Brazil. We're running up and down. We've done the northern half of Brazil last week, Jesse, and we're finding very strong yields. In most cases, record large. And so, you know, Brazilians talk about bags of beans. It's a strange nomenclature down there. They think bushels are strange. We think bags are strange. But a bag equals about a bag per hectare, if you will. 2.47 is about the same as a bushel per acre in the United States. They're finding bags per hectare somewhere in the vicinity of 83 to 88. So these are like 88 bushel, 85 bushel beans in the United States, something we've not seen before in Goiás and Mato Grosso. Very strong yield potential. There are some problems in Rio Grande do Sul. There'll be some problems in Argentina, but the weather forecasts have a lot of rain for the heart of the Pampas of Argentina this week. So I'm hoping there'll be some stabilization in the Argentinian crop.
Any concern if the rains in central Brazil don't necessarily shut off here? I mean, could we see transportation problems develop or quality issues or anything like that if we see continued rains? And then I think about maybe some delays to Safrinha corn planting as well.
Yeah, the math on Safrinha corn planting is you need to have it in the ground by the 5th of March.
Okay.
And we'd like to have 85% of the winter Brazilian corn crop Safrinha planted by the 5th of March. If that doesn't happen, then there's yield drag, less plantings, and some problems. Today, it all depends on Mother Nature, Jesse, in terms of where we're at. The forecast looks better for dryness after a couple of rainy days this week. We'll see how that all comes down. The farmers there are optimistic. And remember, they defoliate. It isn't like beans just die. They'll kill them and then, of course, move behind them and harvest and plant corn very quickly right after the combine.
Final thoughts for folks, Dan, just managing their risk amid all this volatility that's out there. What would you leave folks with?
Listen, understand margin. We have what we believe would be a marketing program. Well, my mindset for marketing is sell and defend.
Yeah.
So sell when you can see margin, make some money, get the 40 or 50% sold on new crop, get the old crop out of the way at these prices and basis levels, and then defend it with a call option as we get into a U.S. or Northern Hemisphere growing season. It seems to be the right way to get this year so that we can assure the bankers we've got something sold on a margin that we feel good about going longer term. If we have good weather in Brazil and the United States, I can see corn back at 350 or 375 next harvest in the United States and beans back down to 9, 9.5, unfortunately. Somehow the markets need to shut down Brazil and it would take those prices to slow their planting next. next year.
A lot of things for us to keep an eye on, and I'm sure we will be talking to you and catching up on things again real soon. Dan Bossy with Ag Resource Company. Good to see you, Dan. Thanks for joining us.
It's great to be with you, Jesse. Good luck, everybody.
Once again, Dan Bossy with Ag Resource Company. Talked with him at the Ag Market Conference on Sunday evening. Now, we've seen tariffs on Mexico and Canada. They'll be put on hold for 1 month. That news coming out on Monday after President Trump spoke with the Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum and Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. But still, this overhanging threat of tariffs been a talking point in the market for many. Coming up next on AOA, we're going to get some perspective on this and talk about the big picture here of the markets. Matt Bennett with AgMarket.net. It's been a little while since we talked to Matt here on the show. He's been traveling and speaking and busy. We're going to get his thoughts and perspective. That's coming up next here on AOA.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
Attention all egg producers. It's the 2025 Chippewa Valley Egg Conference Thursday, February 20th from 9 to 3:30 at Florian Gardens, Eau Claire. This full-day event presented by Security Financial Bank features a keynote address by ag strategist Doug Johnson, breakout sessions on tax planning, dairy market updates, and more, plus a panel discussion on modern ag challenges and opportunities. Registration is $30 and includes lunch. Register by February 13th. Visit sfbank.com for registration information. SFB, member FDIC.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, March milk up 29 to 1991, April up 33 to 1964, May up 26 to 1950, June up 21 to 1875. Meanwhile, in the live and feeder cattle markets, triple-digit losses on the day as the trade continues to extend the losses. Active concern about upcoming trade shifts for beef as cattle markets showing significant uncertainty. We have new Mexican cattle coming back into the market, and there's still that threat of trades potentially, even though the tariffs have been paused for 30 days. Meanwhile, the hog markets were mostly higher on the day as well. Again, some strength in pork cutouts and expectations of increasing consumer demand supported prices. February live cattle down $1.10 to $201.87. March feeder cattle down $2.25 to $268.25. February hogs up 75 cents to $85.07. Chicago Board of Trade corn, soybeans, and wheat all moving mostly higher as the near-term trade concerns do recede. Fresh money flowing back into the grains today. The daily export wire did see 132,000 metric tons of corn sold to South Korea. That also providing support for the markets. New crop corn up 2 3/4 to 4.68. New crop beans up 10 1/4 to 10.73 1/2. March wheat up 10 1/4.
We're local, we're friendly, and we're fast.
You gotta love the hometown guys.
As a preferred customer of Adams Super Service of Durand, receive $30 off an oil change when you get 5 oil changes. Every oil change at Adams Super Service includes up to 5 quarts of oil, filter, lube, and the ASE certified technicians will do a complete safety check of your vehicle. Adams Super Service, your partner's network car care center, downtown Durand.
You gotta love the hometown guys.
Looking for outdoor power equipment for your lawn and garden projects? Anibis Silo is your home for Husqvarna and Toro lawn and garden equipment. Anibis Silo has the right equipment solution for you to tackle any job. Need a piece of equipment repaired? Anabas Silo also now has small engine service and repair. The service staff can repair all makes and models of lawn and garden equipment. Visit Anabas Silo, Highway 25, Durand, for your lawn and garden equipment needs.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to AOA. As we continue here today, I was able to sit down Sunday night with Matt Bennett from AgMarket.net during their conference in Nashville. Obviously, we've seen a rollback on the tariffs here, at least for 1 month, on Canada and Mexico, but the tariff talk has been a big, big talking point in the markets here the last 48 hours plus, and we got some good perspective on this from Matt, and just talked about the big picture as a whole here for the markets. Let's listen to that conversation with Matt Bennett here on AOA. Of course, all the talk here to kick off your guys' conference is tariffs, the 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico, 10% on Canadian energy, 10% on China. We're already seeing reaction from the Canadians and Mexico officials and China, too. 1,000-foot view of this for us, Matt. What's your thoughts on what we're seeing here?
Yeah, I mean, essentially, we're a ways away from implementation of tariffs. And why do I say we're a ways away? Because they're not supposed to go into place until Tuesday. And as we saw with the Colombian situation, that actually reversed itself rather rapidly. Now, here's the thing. If I'm going to, choose one or the other, I kind of like what we're hearing out of Mexico, which is essentially saying we're looking at countermeasures, but we're also willing to sit down and talk about what might be able to be done between the two countries. Mexico is well aware they source corn cheaply through our rail system that goes from the heart of the Midwest down into Mexico. There's no question that that is a real boon for them, and it is for us as well. And it's definitely a mutually beneficial situation. So I've got to think that sounds good as far as Canada goes. The thing that really concerns me whenever it comes to U.S. agriculture, of course, is this potash situation. I think the timing isn't horrific because most folks probably have their potash put on. But I could see a massive increase in the price of potash. And the potash has been the only bright spot we've had as far as fertilizer has been concerned the last several months. It's been pretty darn cheap. It will not be cheap if this all plays itself out. Most likely you're looking at a pretty decent spike in prices.
And that's a great point, because I feel like obviously we've seen this cost price squeeze now for the last year plus. And, you know, the way that the ratios between inputs and the markets and everything else are kind of out of whack, for lack of a better term, obviously this just throws another wrench of uncertainty into these markets and more.
Yeah, it does. I think the thing that's tough, Jesse, is occasionally I'll be at one of these programs where I'm speaking and someone will come up to me afterwards and say, man, I just wish we could get $7 corn again. And I'll look at him and say, man, you haven't learned anything at all. And instead, I'm not trying to be a jerk. I understand if you're holding on to a lot of ownership, what you want to see is this massive rally. But the problem with $7 corn, $6.50 corn, whatever it is that you want to call it, multi-year highs, Jesse, always precipitate a massive increase in input costs, particularly fertilizer. And the unfortunate reality is that whenever you go ahead and you take the price of corn back down, fertilizer stays up. And so, as you said, we have a squeeze. And what the squeeze is that inputs have been very reluctant to come back down. At the same time, yes, commodities have rallied off the harvest lows. But even today, if you talk to producers about 460 December corn, if you talk about 1050 November beans, those don't work very well. It's not that they can't work for some, but for the vast majority of us that are trying to pay for land, have some cash rent, it's really tough to make those numbers work. And that's after a big rally. So it's very concerning. We've got to hope that cooler heads could prevail as far as the agricultural part of this goes. But at the same time, I don't want to see any U.S. consumers, of course, have to have issues through these tariffs. Now, last thing I'll say, though, I don't want the government's job. I don't want President Trump's job. There's no doubt that we tried to put stringent controls into place to get this trade gap narrowed. Then, unfortunately, we don't always have trading partners that live up to what they say they're going to do. So I do understand trying to hold them to the fire, if you will, but at the same time, it could cause a fair amount of pain for this U.S. consumer.
You know, we think a lot about grains and energy. What about livestock? What are some of the implications here? I know Mexico has mentioned, you know, retaliatory tariffs on pork, which, of course, they're a big buyer of U.S. pork, but I think about cattle coming out of Canada into some of the processing plants out west and up in the PNW. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on livestock impacts here?
Yeah, I mean, clearly, whenever it comes to pork, it could be a pretty negative impact. But if we have gotten into a situation where we're in this spat with Mexico and these cattle don't, in fact, start coming en masse north of the border, like we were talking about with feeders, if that's the case and you keep the cattle numbers at these low levels that we're consistently seeing, if this economy doesn't fall apart, right now it looks like it's holding itself fairly well together. Consumer confidence doesn't look bad. Heck, we had printed over 45,000 on the Dow later in the week last week before we sold off somewhat. But bottom line is the consumer still is fairly good. Demand has been incredible. Mm-hmm. And so this cattle thing might not plummet. Now, the thing that I would be cautious on is that you've got a lot of big money players. We're talking livestock right now. Big money players that have been long cattle for quite some time. Fundamentals are still great. We know that. Fundamentals are bullish. They're going to stay bullish for a while because it takes forever to build a cattle herd. But if they get tired of their long, even in good fundamentals, the cattle folks that are fund buyers, if you will, they may just decide to pull their money off the table, take profits. I mean, we're still within $5 of all-time highs. Last week, we spiked to 207. None of us have ever seen $200 fats before on the board of trade before the last 2 weeks. And so be very cautious as to assume that if those cattle don't come north, that we're just going to stay high. Fundamentally, we should, but that doesn't mean anything when you're talking about fund managers.
What about the China piece of this? I think we've kind of been leaning Canada, Mexico here a little bit. Another 10% on China, and we've already had tariffs on China. Wondering if they're going to be shifting more and more to South America for purchases. They like our quality of beans better. But another wrinkle here, too, is I know there's been talk out there of removing China's preferred trade status, which is another issue that I think complicates things as well. So what's your take on the China aspect of this?
Yeah, I mean, it's very complicated for China, in my opinion, as well as us. The thing about it, if we look back when President Trump put tariffs on China the first go-round, their economy was in vastly better condition than what it is today. So putting tariffs on China right now might not precipitate as much of an issue from a retaliatory standpoint. So you've got to assume President Trump is going to take advantage of that if he can. The other side of it, though, is clearly if we tick them off, so to speak, we do have a lot of undelivered sales still whenever it comes to beans. And I think, you know, our first speaker, Dan Bozzi, agrees with me that maybe the USDA has overstepped just a little on forecasting what our exports are going to look like. And why would I say that? Yes, they turned away some beans from Brazil, but Brazil, the five different destinations due to quality control issues. But when you have 170 million metric ton crop, Jesse, there's plenty more where that came from. Mm-hmm. And so as they iron out their issues, you had to expect maybe they were going to have some problems up front. Sometimes they'll defoliate beans to get them harvested so they can get Safrina crop planted. That's part of what they found in these shipments were chemicals. The other thing they found, of course, was some off-quality beans. And you know as well as I do, when you try to harvest beans when they're not dead ripe, you're going to have some quality issues. So I'm afraid when we get into the heart of harvest, it's going to be darn near impossible, especially with the real still fluttering around 20-year lows versus the U.S. dollar, that we're going to be able to export many beans out of the U.S. I am afraid as well that we could see some cancellations.
There's a lot of unknowns right now, plenty of uncertainty, plenty of risk. I guess, you know, how would you sum this all up for the average producer right now? And I think everyone's kind of been hopefully preparing themselves for all of this as we kind of figured this was going to happen here over the weekend. So, I mean, what would you reiterate to folks listening in as they're looking at things?
Yeah, I think the first thing, let's just talk old crop corn and soybeans. Old crop corn prices from a cash standpoint are over a dollar off harvest lows. I understand that we'd all like to get $5 cash. Some people still might have that opportunity where basis is really strong, but we've all seen basis weaken as we've rallied, which is something that you're going to see. Cash ownership of corn going into that January report was actually robust. Most of your end users said they've got anywhere from 6 to 12 weeks of coverage. And with that being the case, then you come in and you rally the market 35 cents from that report. And what have you seen? Massive farmer selling. So if I'm a grower sitting on a bunch of old crop, yes, you may not hit the high, but if you're a dollar off the low, that's a great place to at least reward the market with some. I just think it's a consideration we should look at. Soybeans, relatively speaking, aren't as impressive, but they're still vastly off their lows. So I would be very cautious as to assume that we can just continue to march higher, especially in the face on soybean side of the equation of massive world fundamentals as far as stocks are concerned. So that's old crop. As far as new crops, it's tough, Jesse. Again, 460 and 1050 are not beauty queens, but if I'm in a situation where I've got all my inputs locked in and I can buy myself a floor, really, really strong floor close to the market, and the only way I can afford to do that is to maybe give up something north of 530, 540, 550 by selling a call, I think I at least cover my inputs. So maybe, you know, a third of the crop at most. The only time I'd ever sell a call, I want to be very clear, is if I'm buying crop insurance. I got to know I've got something that's going to gain value if I lose on my hedge, so to speak. Mm-hmm. The most beautiful thing that could happen if you put a trade like that in place is to pay margin calls, because if you pay margin calls, then all of a sudden you're seeing the value of your fall new crop corn or soybeans rally to levels that you didn't think that you'd see. So I just want to understand the risk management tools that are out there. Part of the reason I want to do that, Jesse, is because if I'm selling to the elevator right now, we know interest is still high. Their basis is going to be wide. It's got to be wide. It's not they're trying to be a jerk. It's that they've got to hold your hedge all the way out till next fall. So I do like something that is what I would call locking in a worst case scenario, but I really want to keep flexibility, because our second speaker of the day, Eric Snodgrass, again, he's going to tell you he's got some serious concerns about drought for this year. So I don't want to overstep myself.
He's been sharing those concerns with us as well here, and it's one other piece of the puzzle we have to watch. Matt Bennett, agmarket.net. Always good to see you, buddy. Thanks for joining me.
Absolutely. Thanks for being here.
Once again, that conversation Sunday night with Matt Bennett at their conference. Coming up next, let's talk the livestock market, specifically cattle. Ross Baldwin with agmarket.net. We hear from him on the way next here on AOA.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-635-3311. That's 1-800-635-3311. Or go to SelectQuote.com. 1-800-635-3311. That's 1-800-635-3311.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Full details on example policies at selectquote.com/commercials.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy and founder of Wesley Financial Group. And I want to set the record straight. I am not an attorney. I've never wanted to be an attorney. And the truth is, I really don't even like attorneys. If I sound like an attorney or if I look like an attorney, I apologize. But what I've learned in my 15 years in the timeshare cancellation business is you don't need to be an attorney to get folks out of their timeshare. At Wesley, we've helped over 40,000 families cancel their timeshare without me being an attorney. And I want to share with you how we do it. Just give my office a call, and you will not talk to an attorney. And I guarantee if we take you as a client, we'll get you out of your timeshare, or you'll pay nothing.
Call now for your free information kit. 800-714-9090. 800-714-9090. 800-714-9090.
Hey, in San Antonio, on Wednesday, February 5th, stop by Novo Nessus Booth 2251 for some exciting live radio. AOA will be broadcasting live from 9 to 10 a.m. We will be highlighting how research-proven probiotics support the normal development and productivity of cattle, as well as more about world-leading biosolutions from Novo Nessus, formerly Christian Hansen. Also on Thursday at 11:30 in the Learning Lounge, I will be hosting a Novo Nessus panel. We'll see you in San Antonio.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Maybe it was a family vacation or a school field trip. But there you were, standing in awe at a national park. We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Today, tomorrow, forever. Donate at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Are you heading to National Farm Machinery Show? This is Jesse Allen. I'll be broadcasting AOA Live on Thursday, February 13th from 10 to 11 a.m. from AGI Booth 7423. In advance of 2025 planting, now is the time to adopt a review, repair, replace strategy. Stop by AGI's booth to get tips and learn what's new in grain storage, conditioning, and material handling. That's Thursday, February 13th from AGI Booth 7423 from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern at National Farm Machinery Show.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA. As we finish up today, I was able to talk about the cattle markets with Ross Baldwin from AgMarket.net during their conference in Nashville on Monday. Let's listen to that conversation, starting with Ross's thoughts on what was expected to be and seemed to be a friendly cattle inventory report from last week.
Yeah, it was a friendly report. It just continues to highlight the overall bullish fundamentals the cattle market has. Pretty much across the entire report, everything was 1% lower. You saw the all cattle and calves inventory number, the tightest since 1951. The beef cow herd continues to get smaller. It was 1% lower also. You know, you go back to last year, that number, the beef cow herd, was the tightest it had been since the early 50s. So we continue to get tighter and tighter. And I think one really interesting number that came out of the report is there was some across the trade that were looking for the heifers kept for breeding. They were looking for that to pick back up just a little versus a year ago, which would indicate maybe we've started retention. And that number was also 1% lower. So indicating very, very little to no retention going on in a meaningful way.
Mm-hmm. And I think about this too. I think that just to your point, it adds to this continued red hot market. I mean, you know, cash has been here for some time, but now getting futures, fats over that two mark. I mean, this market just doesn't seem to show signs of slowing down right now.
It hasn't. And it's obviously at extremely risky levels for producers. Mm-hmm. When you get the managed money crowd, they're record long live cattle. They've been record long feeder cattle here for going on a few weeks now. With the size of their positions and what open interest has done here, at these levels, if there was anything that would come out of left field that could be negative, you could have a serious sell-off in the futures market. But the underlying fundamentals remain extremely bullish, and we're seeing that play out week in, week out right now with cash trade. The North has been trading, 210. A week or two ago, got up to 212. But mm-hmm. Southern trade, which had been lagging this last week, jumped up about $6 down in the South. So, I mean, they're getting closer to where the Northern trade's at. They were 207 to 208. So the fundamentals remain extremely supportive for the market, but people just got to be careful given where these futures prices are at.
Well, and let's talk about that and managing your risk. And I know a lot of folks like to talk about LRP, for instance, and things like that. And I just, a lot of times, that's what I like to harp on is, hey, use the tools that you have in the toolbox, whatever it is, futures, options, et cetera, to at least protect your downside risk here. Because I worry that in the case of this cattle market, Ross, we've gotten so bulled up that everyone is just thinking that the bottom's not going to fall out. But we've seen before that once it does, stair step up, elevator down.
Correct.
Right?
Absolutely. And we've seen that several times over, the history of the cattle market. It is what takes months to rally up to. It can all be gone in a matter of, a few weeks. And with where we're at in the cattle market, like you said, whether it's, using options or LRP or, even packer contracts, it used something to mitigate your risk here, because at these levels, like you said, once the sell-off starts, the unfortunate part with risk management is if you don't reward it on rallies and you wait until that first day it's down, it's extremely difficult to then say, okay, I'm going to start managing risk now after, say, the market's been down $2 or $3. Yep. And a lot of times that's when you're just at the mercy of the market, if you don't get some protection put on rallies.
Very true. What about the feeder side here? And maybe we can bring in the corn market and some of the rally we've had there. I mean, talk about some of those margins and more. What's your thoughts on the feeders?
The corn market obviously continues to be very strong, especially the old crop corn. That's where the story is with the tight carry out, tighter stocks to use ratio. The old crop has the story. And while that has been rallying here recently, it has not slowed these feeders down at all. One of the largest drivers to feeder cattle recently has been when the U.S.-Mexico border was shut down for feeder imports with the New World screwworm. Now, over the weekend, they announced that it is going to open back up. There's obviously requirements around the cattle coming into the states here, but that border is opening. Now, we've seen feeder cattle, when that announcement happened and they shut the border down, feeder cattle futures, they essentially rallied $25 to $30 following that announcement. So feeders remain extremely strong because we import a lot of feeder cattle from Mexico. And then you throw in all this tariff that's going back and forth. And in a sense, feeders have kind of viewed tariffs going in place as supportive. It that's how they've traded it here recently. So, I mean, there's a lot of risk here with feeder cattle as well. I mean, we're at all-time record high prices, both futures and cash feeders. And I think the biggest thing to watch here on feeders is if that border opens up and you start to see maybe some pressure on this feeder cattle, physical feeder cattle market, watch that feeder index. If we would start to see that feeder index start to slow up here as this border opens back up, and it's going to take time. They're not just going to flood all these cattle in immediately, but watch that index. I think that index, if we could see that start to soften up a little bit, maybe feeders, you could start to see maybe more of a correction here, given where futures have rallied to.
And I think it's interesting too, to kind of tie this all up, the continued consumer demand for beef, even at these high prices, still somehow, some way, seems to be supportive to these markets.
Correct. We've saw the domestic demand here is been about the strongest it's been in the last 40 years on the beef side. And yes, beef is extremely expensive. If you look at 2024 retail prices, it was over $8 a pound is what beef averaged. I mean, that's the highest on record. But we've seen the cutout value stay extremely well supported, well above 300 on choice. And it's all points to just signs of strong domestic demand. And beef is, there's no question, beef's expensive, but everything that you touch is expensive. So it's just, yes, $5 a pound, $5, $6 a pound is really expensive for hamburger, especially with what we're all used to out here in the ag space. But when you look back at what it costs to go out to eat and just how expensive everything is, I think people do step back and they look at it through a different lens as where beef prices are today, just given the how expensive everything is. But it's no question. I mean, eventually the job of the market is to, you know, figure this situation out that we have in the beef market, and it's probably going to lead to higher prices here as we work out, you know, on the retail beef side of it, because numbers continue to get tighter. So until demand starts to maybe slow up a little bit, I look for retail beef prices to stay extremely well supported.
Appreciate the perspective, and we'll look forward to getting you back on the show again in the future. Ross Baldwin with agmarket.net. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
That's going to do it for today's AOA. Thanks to the AgMarket.net team for having me at their conference. We're going to talk more cattle the next several days on the show. We'll be at CattleCon 2025 in San Antonio, Texas. We'll hear from our friends at Novo Nesis, Beringer Ingelheim, and more. For now, though, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
Your car has the power to help save lives. An unwanted or unused car in almost any condition. Discover how donating your car can make a lasting impact in the fight against breast cancer. Can there be a world where breast cancer is a thing of the past? That world may be within reach, and your car donation can help us get there. Simply call 1-800-778-4167. Your donation will support Susan G. Komen's vital work in research, care, community, and action. Your contribution fuels groundbreaking research, supports patients and their families, and raises awareness about prevention and early detection. Donating your unwanted or unused car is simple and fast. We take care of everything, including a free pickup and all the paperwork at your convenience. Call 1-800-778-4167. And the best part? Your donation qualifies for a tax deduction. Remember, your car donation has the power to transform lives, providing hope and healing to those affected by this devastating disease. So why wait? Call 1-800-778-4167. Help accelerate the cure for breast cancer. Your wheels, their hope.
Think back to the last time you were in nature. What comes to mind? Hiking through a lush forest? Floating on a lazy river? Or perhaps watching a vibrant sunset on a beach full of glistening plastic bottles and food wrappers?
Bombas makes the most comfortable socks, underwear, and t-shirts.
Warning, Bombas are so absurdly comfortable you may throw out all your other clothes.
Sorry, do we legally have to say that?
No, this is just how I talk, and I really love my Bombas.
They do feel that good, and they do good too. One item purchased equals one item donated.
To feel good and do good, go to bombas.com/radio and use code radio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/radio and use code radio at checkout.
I'm Navy vet, journalist, and Navy Federal Credit Union member Phil Briggs, and I've always loved how Navy Federal has savings and investment options built for vets like me and my kids. Heck, even their kids can join one day. They also offer access to financial advisors to help members get the most out of their investments. So don't miss out. The sooner you start building your finances, the better off you could be in the long run. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products are insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
We're here because you're here. Shopping locally and listening locally. On your radio, smartphone, computer, and tablet. Real Country, 1430 AM stereo. WRDN, Durand, Kellogg, Stockholm. And 107.3 FM. Translator, W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. As Elon Musk